It's 2017. What have you asked God for? You know, resolutions are funny things. At the beginning of the year, we seem to make resolutions. I don't know if it is out of conviction that we do it, if it's out of a decision or discipline, that there's something in us at the beginning of the year that says, I want to do something different. I want to do something more. I want to get rid of this. I want to add this. So as I began to pray and think about Proverbs, I love this story because God came to Solomon. Get out your pens. If you're new here, you'll know that one thing I say is always have a pen in your hand because God will say something to you I won't. Okay? God will say something to you I won't. And you'll write something down and you'll say to somebody, wasn't that good? And they'll go, I didn't write that down. Did she say that? See, Holy Spirit speaks louder than I do. He'll speak to your heart and your mind. So there'll be something you just want to jot something down, a thought or an idea to stimulate your mind later, okay? So Solomon now, let me set the stage. Solomon is the son of King David. King David is the most powerful king of all of Israel, okay? Everyone loved King David. He was a favorite king. He was a good king. He was a wise king. He was a successful king. And then he dies, and all of a sudden, his son has to step into his shoes. And there's nothing harder than when a child has to step in the shoes of a successful parent. That's very, very difficult. And we as parents, we have to always make sure that our children are coming up behind us and we're telling them how proud we are. I have three children and I'm constantly telling them, I couldn't do what you do, guys. I am so proud of you. Because if they think they have to fill my shoes, that's so overwhelming. They've got bigger shoes than me and I believe they're going to do more than I'll ever do. And I'm constantly telling my kids that. You need to constantly be telling your children, man, I'm proud of you. Look what you're doing. So Solomon comes along and he's on his way to the temple and he's going to make sacrifice. So we read that right there in 1 Kings 3. He's making sacrifice. And then the next scene is God says to him, ask me whatever you want. Now envision this. God comes to you and he says, Tammy, ask me anything you want. And the Bible goes on that he says, oh God, you've been so faithful to my father, David. You've been so good to Israel. You've been so good to my family. You have allowed me to come and sit on the throne of my father. It is an awesome responsibility that I have. What do you want from me, Solomon? God, give me discernment to know how to judge and lead the people. He didn't want to be a failure. God, help me to be successful. Give me discernment on how to judge the people. He was the king. He was the judge. Disputes were going to come. Questions were going to come. Decisions were going to come. This king, he didn't want to fail. He wanted to be successful like his father. Give me discernment to know how to judge the people. The Bible goes on in the story and it says, God came to Solomon and he said, Solomon, because you have asked for this and not wealth or riches or health, or that your enemies be put aside, because you have asked for discernment, I, God, am going to give you wisdom to judge the people. Now, this is a really good, I've never heard this taught before. God showed me something I've never seen before. He asked for discernment. God says, I'm going to give you wisdom and discernment. We'll look at it in a minute. Both of them are in the scripture. So we know they're not the same because it's one and the other. I'm going to give you wisdom and discernment to judge the people. God began to show Solomon because he asked correctly. Now listen, he asked correctly, I'm going to give you wisdom. The Bible then says Solomon woke up from the dream. The next part of the scripture says, then he got up and he went to the temple and he continued with the sacrifice. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Tammy, how many dreams have I given you that you haven't done anything with? What if Solomon would have woken from that dream and said, it was only a dream? Now that was a dream. What a dream. Listen, ladies, the Bible's clear to tell us in the last days the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out upon us and we are going to dream dreams and have visions. I believe, and there's a stirring in my soul tonight, I believe that we have these dreams and we wake up and we think it was pizza instead of the Holy Spirit. Now, stay with me. I believe that he speaks to us through dreams and visions. Do you realize that when you go to sleep, your conscious man never goes to sleep? Your body sleeps, you don't sleep. Your mind, your will, and your emotions never sleep. Your body rests, but you don't. God is as active when you're sleeping as he is when you're awake. And so often we don't take heed to the dreams that God gives us. I believe they manifest in a dream, and there's a stirring in you. There's a stirring with, hey, I can make salsa. Hey, I can make Nate's lunch. Hey, I can take, hey, there's a patterned food. I'm seeing food in all these dreams women are having. All of a sudden it just hit me, right? All right. But all of a sudden, these are women that we call it passion. But sometimes we'll say, I have a dream to do this. I really believe that it starts with a real dream. I believe God puts a dream in your soul. I believe that God puts a dream in your spirit. I believe He activates your spirit and something happens. See, you have interests that I don't necessarily have interest in. You'll see something, and you'll go, wow, that's really cool. I could do that. Or I have an idea, or this or that. Where do you think that comes from? Listen, God is the creator God, and we're made in His image. Therefore, all creativity comes from Him. He wants us to create. We're made to create. We're not made to just exist. We're made to create. We're made to dream. We're made to do. There's something that stirs in us. When I walk by, every time I walk by Albertsons and I see that salsa, I'm so proud of you. I think I know that woman that has a story that changes people's lives. I walk by and see Nate's lunch and I go, I know that woman who has a special needs, if we'll call him that or whatever we want to call Nate, a special boy who has a story and you could have given up, but you didn't give up. You came up with an incredible gluten-free lunch that's now in Gilson's and other stores. Plug, all right? Because I'm proud of her. She's pushed through. You don't think it's hard? I know it's hard. There's times she calls me and says, I don't know if I can do this. No, you can't, but in Christ, you can do all things, girlfriend. Get up and go. Get up and go. It's time to get up and go. And I started reading about this, and God's going, Tammy, there are dreams right now I'm birthing in women with women of influence. This will be a movement. If we believe in other women and we champion women and we walk alongside women and we encourage women, and that's what God wants to do in your life as well. I want to show you the scripture because I just think it's too good for me not to really read the word of God. So in 1 Kings 3, 5 through 15, let me walk you through this. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. All right, in a dream, I want you guys to take notes, write some things down. Tonight, some of you are going to have dreams. And when you wake up, see, what I like to do, guys, is I like to keep a pen and a paper next to my bed. Seriously, this is the truth. Because if you don't, you won't get out of bed to go write something down. But you will reach over for a piece of paper and maybe just write a word down. I don't encourage women to keep their phone next to them, seriously, because there's just something about all that, you know, magnetic kind of stuff that goes off and on, and your phone's probably beeping and this and that. So, you know, turn your phone off at night. That's just a smart thing to do. But old school, a pen and paper. And if you wake up in the middle of the night and something comes to your mind, write the word down or the thought down. And then in the morning, begin to ask Holy Spirit to show you what He's doing. Again, vision boards, which we can talk about in another session. I'll talk to you about that. So during the night in a dream, and He said, underline this in big letters, put it down in your paper. Here's what He says. Ask for whatever you want me to do. What if God said that to you, Karen? Ask for whatever you want me to do. Can I tell you, He is? Not if He asks you. He is asking you. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door. The problem is some of you gave up just too soon. Some of you just gave up too soon. Ask for what you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because now listen, this is so important. And here's what this son Solomon saw in his father. And this was so good if you're a parent. This is such a great verse to read because this is what I want my kids to see in me. I want my kids someday to say this, right? Because my daddy was faithful to you, God. He had a righteous and an upright heart. You continued this great kindness to him, and you've given me, his son, to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your seen king, your servant king in place of my father, David. But look what he says in humility, but I am only a child. So first of all, I have to realize whatever God's doing with me, he's doing it by his grace. He's doing it by his grace. He wants to do it. He wants to empower me. But there was a sense of humility that Solomon saw. You have put me on my father David's throne. I'm only a child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among all the people that you've chosen, this great people. They're so numerous to count. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. And we're going to talk about discernment, ladies, in 2 weeks, which is one of these characteristics. How do I know what to do and when to do it? Holy Spirit, I need to discern, should I say this or not say it? Should I address this or not address it? Should I go there? Because Holy Spirit is the discerner. Women, if we turn on the Holy Spirit a little bit more in our life, we won't make half the mistakes we do in life. Holy Spirit, he's called the prompter, and he prompts me. There are so many times where he comes and he says, shut your trap. He does it in a loving way, but I'll pull back and I'll go, I don't need to say it. Just, no, don't say it. Had I said it, it would have caused problems. My marriage problem, with my friends problem. So he prompts us. And that's what Solomon was saying. I need discernment because there's all these people in Israel. How in the world, God, do I lead and guide these people? Show me. So he asked for this, right? So God said to him, I love God. God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or for wealth or for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart. You see the difference? I'm going to talk to you about why I think that's important. So there will never have be anyone like you on the throne, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. Because you asked for the right thing, then I'm going to even give you more. See, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3, 28, 25, that he will give us exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that you can ask or think. You know when you get like a double whammy and you go, God, that was good, but that was really good. He does exceedingly, abundantly, beyond. And that's what he says. I'm going to give you this, but since you asked for the right thing, I'm also going to give you. And then he goes on. He says, I'm going to give you long life, right? Wealth. I'm going to give you wealth and honor so that in your lifetime there will be no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience with me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Look. Then Solomon awoke. All this has happened in a dream. He awoke right then, and he realized it had been a dream. Now look what he did. And then he returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord of the Covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. After Holy Spirit gives you a dream, go to him. Now this is good, because the next thing we're going to look at is he was able to discern the two crazy ladies. Yeah, if you remember that story where they cut the baby in half? Okay, that's the very next assignment he has. He needs a little discernment on that one, right? We'll talk about that another time. And as I was reading this, Holy Spirit said, Tammy, when I give you a dream and it's birthed in your heart and you know it, you come and you worship me. You bring all that back to me. I am going to empower you in a way you can't imagine. I'm going to open doors for you that no man can close. There's a good verse for that, that he'll open doors that no man can shut, and he'll shut doors that no man can open. When you start to get Holy Ghost behind you, fueling you, girlfriend, there is no stopping you. So when Holy Spirit gives you a dream and you start to step into that dream, and I don't know what your dream is. It's to sing. It's to write music. I'm so proud of Melody. I could just go down the line of everyone. So proud of Melody up here stepping up. You know, she writes for J-Lo. She's in L.A. She's an incredible woman of God. She stands up for her faith, incredible writer. And God looked at her and he said, okay, you're marked. Now she's got influence music and she's writing incredible worship songs. God marked her. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't just have a special few. We're his girls. We're his girls. He's tender toward us. He just says, what do you want me to do? Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to have battles. It doesn't mean you're not going to have like a Jody and the very thing you're asking God for, he doesn't do. And you want to turn your back on him. Hey, there's so often, many times I've said, God, I'm done. You just try ministering to people for 40 years. You'd say you're done too, all right? There's so many times I'm like, God, seriously, I'm just done. And he goes, go ahead. And I get a few steps away. You know how when a little kid, you tell them to go on and they do this? Make sure you're there. There's so many times I'm like, well, I'm going. But seriously, we have that talk a lot. You know when you just get mad at him, you kind of want to walk away, but you want to make sure that you're still in his shadow? All right? Because we're his girls, and he's got great plans for us, but you got to believe it. I can't believe it for you. I can believe it with you. But you got to believe it. All right? I want to give you a couple things I think are really, really good here. God gave me so many great one-liners through this, but I thought this was really, really interesting. Here's what I think God's showing me. Wisdom is a lifestyle. This is good. Write this down. Wisdom is a lifestyle. Discernment, discretion, instruction, the other words we're going to look at this week, or this study together, those are all disciplines. Those are all actions. But they're all held in wisdom. Now listen, this gets a little deep, but I think if you can help me, let me. As I began praying, all of a sudden, I just started asking wisdom to walk with me. Wisdom, and I started this a couple weeks ago, wisdom, walk with me. And the Holy Spirit showed me, I am wisdom. And if you walk with me, you will be wise. Really simple. Not in action, all right, but in concept. So I get up in the morning and I say, Holy Spirit, wisdom, walk with me. Make me wise, Holy Spirit. Wise to know what to say, when to say it, what to think, where to go, when to say no, when to say yes. Walk with me, wisdom. And wisdom begins to do this divine dance with me. See, I do this divine dance with wisdom. And he'll speak to me, and I'll do course correction. And he'll speak to me, and I'll step out on faith. And he'll speak to me, and I'll go this way. And he'll speak to me, and he'll open a door this way. And it's the divine dance with wisdom, because when you walk with God, you walk in wisdom. But it's your choice every day to talk to him and have a relationship. You will make wise decisions if you walk with God. Let me explain that to you a little bit. The wise, let me go through your notes. The wise recognize and receive wisdom. So the more that I begin to understand wisdom, the more I see wisdom. So, all right, I'm having a situation. We get here, this little mic's not working. All right, I don't like to use one of those handheld mics. Simple illustration, stay with me. You know when you get there and you got it all planned out, many of the plans of man, right, everything, and then something goes awry. So I get here and they're going, hey, Tam, the handheld, this mic's not working, it's broke. I'm like, no, fix it, you guys, because I don't do well with hand mics because I have to talk with my hands, and I'm having my little personal hissy fit back there. Will you guys fix it? I mean, seriously, I need this. And then Holy Spirit said, what would wisdom do? And Ashley can say, you know what? What did I say to you, Ashley? I said, I'm going to put on wisdom. Because that was 5 minutes after I had my hissy fit. All right? But I did in a minute. I'm going to show you course correction. Why? Why would I lose my joy? Why would I lose my testimony? Why would I allow a silly little thing like a microphone? Right? That's wisdom. When you walk with wisdom, all of a sudden, Holy Spirit begins to prompt your heart, and you think, I'm not going to get anywhere with this. This isn't wise behavior, okay? So the wise recognize and receive wisdom. Listen, let me ask you this question. Do you trust God to speak to you through your dreams and visions? Now, some of you are in here and say, I don't know if I can go that far, Tammy. I don't know if I really believe that God, you know, I have dreams, but I do believe it's pickles and pizza, all right? If that's true, then why did God put this in the Word of God? Is this living and active? Is this his breath? Is this his instruction? Is this his life for us? Is it? If it's in the Word and it is his breath, it is his instruction, it is his manual for us, then why wouldn't he do it for us? Let me show you what I mean. In Joel 2:20, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Anybody in here have some flesh? It's winter, it's covered, but you have it under there, all right? It's who you are as a person. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Spirit. He's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters. Any daughters of God in here tonight? Anybody just say, I am. I mean, anybody want something from God? He's got a few girls in here. All right? I mean, when everybody asks me about a God thing, I raise my hand. I'm first in line because no good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly. Hey, how many daughters do you have in the house now? All right, we got some daughters in the house. I will pour out my spirit on my sons and my daughters. Listen, and your daughters, and prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. God wants to pour his spirit out in dreams and visions. But you say that's Old Testament, Tammy. Okay, then go to Acts 2:27, New Testament. In the last days it shall be that God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. God wants to dream something in you. God wants to dream a healthy marriage, a healthy body, a vision. I see Maria. I just met this week, and she has an incredible mom's blog. I always shout out to women. I'm not embarrassed to say I'm proud of you. Girl, I'm proud of you. You went through a hard pregnancy. You went through a hard life. You went through stuff. And now she's got a blog to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young moms here in Anaheim and the surrounding areas. She stepped out on a dream. Went to Hollywood to be an actress, and God says, I'm going to make you a mama and touch moms. I'm proud of you, Maria, and I'm glad I met you this week. Amen. See, your story is like everybody else's story. Listen, Your story is like my story because your story counts. Your story counts. All the hell that you've been through, the difficult, the marital struggles, the struggles with kids, the jail. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your kids have done. It's part of your story for the kingdom. If you step into your story, there's no telling what God will do with you. He's looking for some daughters that he can dream dreams and give visions to. I want to be one. I am one. He wants to do that in you. Number two, the wise are disciplined. I'm out of time. 2 minutes. The wise are disciplined to make course correction. Guys, be disciplined enough. And all I want to ask you to do, and this is new. A lot of you go, help me understand this, Tammy. It's really simple. Get up in the morning, write it down, because you won't remember how to do this. Every morning, just wake up and say, good morning, wisdom. Good morning, wisdom. Holy Spirit, thank you for filling me with your spirit. You are wisdom. You live in me and through me and with me. You are wisdom. Because if you start thinking like wisdom, you'll start acting like wisdom. It's not what you do, it's what he does in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. The enemy wants to come and say, failure, husband's a jerk, kids are idiots, you don't have any money, you gained weight. Oh, any of these heard these things from him? I've heard them lately. I had 3 slices of what was that cake I had? Carrot cake. I cut 3 of them, but then I thought, well, I was made for more today. That was yesterday. So I started today. I've done good, all right? And the enemy will just come and go, God, you can't lead those ladies. You had 3 slices of carrot cake. Who do you think you are? And I'm going to go, smart, because I did it the day before I started the wise behavior. All right. So, you know, I dialogue with, you know, the enemy often. He doesn't stay around long because if you use scripture, he can't stay around. So I just quote the word of God, and before long, I'm thinking like God. I'm not thinking like the enemy. Really, that's a simple coaching tool for many of you. I'll say, so learn the word of God. So look, the wise make course correction. All that means is I was going this way. The minute you see you're going this way, turn around. There's another word the Bible calls, it's called repentance. It means I was going one way, and then I made a decision to turn around the other way. All right? But here's the problem. Most of us get too far down the line before we turn around, and then we have regret and guilt and all those are the things we got to work our way back to where we were. If you can make course correction here and turn around, you're on course quicker. Does that make sense to you? So what you want to do is let Holy Spirit engage you quicker. See, he comes in a real soft voice. And some of us don't know what that soft voice sounds like because there's so much noise in the world. So you have to listen for his soft voice, and it's a prompting in me. I know it in my gut before I go too far down the road. I need to turn around. You know, when you're in a conversation, I was with some girls this week, and they got to talking about somebody. And all of a sudden, I thought, I've got some information they don't know. I literally had that thought. I mean, I really did. I'm like, this is some stuff they haven't heard yet. I thought it. But then the Bible says, take every thought captive by renewing your mind. I mean, I remembered the verse before the Holy Spirit let my mouth open. And I sat there listening, and then I finally said, well, you know, guys, we really don't know the details. I mean, let's just, it's a hard life for her. Let's just pray for her. Holy Spirit, help me take course correction instead of fuel it and then feel guilty that I got involved in it. How many times have you left a situation and thought, why'd I say that? Man, I threw my girlfriend down the gutter. I put her in a bad light. I talked about my husband. I put some, you know what I'm saying? That's wisdom. And the quicker you do it and the more you do it, the quicker you're going to make course correction fast. Does that make sense? All in your court. Problem is some of you just have to get back to where you were. And this last thing I want to just share, there was so much more, but our time was short tonight. The wise reproduce wisdom in others. See, what I want to do is I want to teach you how to walk in wisdom because I believe that's what David did for Solomon. I want you to teach you. What I say to my small group leaders is I have to teach the small group leaders who teach you, and you go out and you teach your families and your friends and your colleagues. Those are concentric circles. See how that works? So I have to be filled with wisdom. You got to watch me. You got to see me. If I'm not walking in wisdom, right, then you don't see God in me. I want you to look and go, you know what? I've never heard her talk about somebody. I've never heard her malign. I've never heard her gossip. Every time I'm around her, she encourages me. So I know what I want to be. So if you don't know what you want to be, you're never going to be it. So one of the greatest things you could do at the beginning of this year is write down a mission statement for yourself. My personal mission statement is, I am on my way to becoming the woman God sees me to be. That's been mine for about 10 years now. And now I know every day it's a journey. I'm on my way to becoming the woman God already sees me to be. I'm walking in that. Man, he sees a jewel here. Just wait. He's pruning me. But I'm getting there because I'm on my way. See, and I say that enough and I believe it. I really do believe that. I mean, I'm not doubting that. If you have a mission statement that you say every day and you believe it, what do I say around here all the time? What you say, you, whatever you're saying, you're seeing, because you're a self-fulfilling prophecy. So whatever's coming out of your mouth is your reality. Whatever you're saying, spewing negative thoughts, I can't do it, I'm a failure, it never worked for me. Tammy, you don't know my situation, you're not married to my husband, you don't know my kids, you don't know my money, blah, 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 blah. What you're saying is your reality. It's true. I don't know your husband. I don't know your kids. I don't know. But what if you start saying this? Man, God's doing an amazing thing in my family. I'm starting to see a turnaround in my home. God's using me in a mighty way. I've been studying the Word of God. You're not going to believe what my son did the other day. God opened this door for me the other day that was amazing. Now I'm walking through with wisdom and confidence. That's what Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit is wisdom. Holy Spirit is wisdom. When Holy Spirit fills you up, you walk in wisdom. That makes sense? And then all these other manifestations that we'll talk about over these next few weeks all come out because you're already walking in wisdom. You know how to be discerning. You know how to instruct. You understand how to direction. Does that make sense? So what holds all of this is wisdom. Get wisdom. Get God.